Hello, Jets fans. It's me. It's David. We're back for another one of our A-League pre-season interviews. And today we are talking everything Sydney FC. I'm lucky to be joined by Blake making his Jetstream debut. He joins us from Sky Blue Views. How are you, mate? Welcome to the Jetstream.
Thanks very much for having us, David.
Mate, semi-finalists last year. Let's before we jump into this season, have a bit of a look at last season for you. You were double winners. You won the Premiership. You won the FFA Cup, semi-finalists. Did it really live up to expectations? Were the fans happy with their performances, the performance of the team last year?
Look, leading up into that semi-final against Victory, and that's a game that I don't think any of us fans will ever forget, just for the sheer drama and tension of it all, and I'm sure even Victory fans were put through the ringer with it. Everything leading up to that stage, it was going like clockwork. We had the top scorer in the league, best assist maker. We topped all the stats as far as defence was concerned, and this was Graham's swan song, and it was all leading to the inevitable winning the grand final again and going back to back. But fate was that it just wasn't meant to be on that day. So as far as what that season was, it was absolutely immense, and people were just talking about us as though it was going to be a procession. We were going to win the title. We were going to fulfil what we'd done throughout the regular season. So to come up short on that day, it made it very flat. And then having to watch the grand final without a sinner, it was very surreal. So the season as a whole was absolutely fantastic, but it was you lose that one semi-final and all of a sudden all that good work disappears. So very bittersweet season, I'd say.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned there that it was Arnie's swan song. It was well known even before the end of the season that he was going to be departing to take up a role with the Socceroos. How did that feel for the fans? I mean, I can't really relate to something like that. Was it a funny feeling with Arnie?
It was, because, I mean, I think a lot of us fans knew that the time would come eventually, and we knew when Ange, those stories were leaking, the fact that he was going to head out, that Graham would essentially be the only contender. I didn't think that Muscat would probably get the nod. And so when you knew that those stories were starting to leak out, the conversations were being had behind the scenes and that he was being headhunted, that you knew that it was kind of coming. And so you were always kind of wondering, you know, what's going to happen next? Is the club doing their, you know, diligence behind the scenes? Do they have a shortlist? What was happening with that? So I think when you can kind of get a sense when those stories are starting to leak out that something's happening, and I know I made my peace with it fairly early on, but I don't know what other fans are thinking about it.
I mean, well, they were linked with a number of high-profile candidates, also some local candidates. I mean, there was a rumour going around about the middle of March that Sydney wanted Ernie Merry. I don't think we'd have been too happy with that personally, but but it all came down to, I guess, in a way, a surprise appointment in Steve Corica. Has it been a popular appointment, or one that's met with a bit of apprehension from the fan group?
I'd say there's goodwill towards Steve, because he's such a lovely bloke. I mean, I don't think anyone has a bad word to say about him. He's been a very popular club man. He was the captain that first year, scored the winning goal in the first grand final. Mm-hmm. He's been involved with the club, you know, from day one. So as far as a decision that you could make that would get fans on side, there's that, but there's also the thing that he's been an assistant coach for, how long is it now, 4 or 5 years, maybe even longer. And you think it's that fear of promoting the number two. You know, are they going to be able to command the dressing room? Because Arnie's been such a dominant presence, and you know that when he says something, the players immediately respond to it. So with Steve, it's a bit of an unknown at this stage. And the FFA Cup run as well, I mean, a few of the results have been good, but the performances have been a little bit lacking. So it'll be interesting to see what will happen, though. But I'm sure most of the fans are on side with the decision, because we think he deserves a chance with it.
You'd be forgiven for thinking that it was almost like the end of an era with Sydney, yeah, with Sydney FC. I mean, we'll jump into the outs for the players before I come back to Corica a little bit later, but I mean, there's been some massive departures from this team. Bobo Mijaeski had a very messy departure from the club. Jordy Boyce, who really got bore the brunt, in my opinion, of the ACL rule that we have. That is the, was it 3+1?
Yes, 3+1.
And then you had Luke Wilkshire, who was really at the end of his career, and then what I would almost call some bench players in Matt Simon, Dave Carney, and then Anthony Kallik and Fabio Ferreira, who Ferreira in particular, surprised he picked up a gig with Perth. But I mean, Boyce, Mijaeski, and Bobo, that is three key players through the spine of that team. How have the fans taken to their departures?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, even just going through that list there, I mean, you're taking out the top goal scorer in the league with, I haven't got the stats in front of me, but I think Bobo has the highest conversion rate as far as games played to goals scored.
Yeah, right.
In the history of the competition. You throw in Adrian, I mean, he was this little bald-headed Polish fella who came from the Middle East. No one had any idea about who he was. He came in very low key, and all of a sudden he became essentially, you know, the most valuable player in the league. And Jordy, who was absolutely fantastic, made his debut on Australia Day against Melbourne Victory away, absolutely bossed it, and ever since then he was a fan favourite. So you knew that as soon as one of those players was going to go, as soon as the coach left, that things were going to change pretty quickly, and with the salary cut you knew that changes were going to be made fairly soon. So yeah, I think that is one of the greatest apprehensions about what the fans have at the moment, is that you're essentially pulling out the spine of a championship winning team, and you've got to press the reset button and start again with some new players. So I'm a bit concerned about that, but also, you know, if you're a fan of the A-League club, you know that change is going to happen, and anytime anyone impresses, they're likely to be bought by someone else.
I mean, with those departures, they've been replaced, I'd say, pretty well. I mean, CM Dion, who is almost in just at the prime of his career, essentially, a loan from Ajax, who are not a small club. Adam Lafondre, who's a proven Premier League and Championship player, coming over from Bolton Wanderers. Jop van der Linden, who's got one of the longest names that I've seen since Vaz Vanderbrink, but... I take it that he's going to be taking the spot with Jordy Boyce. He's a centre defender?
He is.
He sounds like a defender, mate.
Yes, he sounds like it. Although I've got to say, like, I've been very impressed with CM and Lafondre so far in the cut run, but Yop's been a player who I'm a little bit concerned about. I was actually really impressed with Ben Walland, who came in at the end of last season. He's just re-signed with the club, actually.
He has.
He's going to be, he's going to be a third-string defender for us, but I was kind of hoping that he would partner up with Alex Wilkinson in centre of defence. But, yeah, the two other players, I mean, CM and Lafondre, that they certainly look like they're going to take over from what Bobo and Adrian have done. And they're going to dictate a lot of what we do this season. And I think, yeah, as you say, I think they're good recruits. They're not the biggest names that the A-League's ever seen, but I think they can do a role.
Are you looking at Lafondre to sort of have an impact that, say, Melbourne City had with Ross McCormick the previous season?
Yeah. I'd say he's a bit of a different player than Ross is. He's not like a free kick specialist or anything like that. I think he's a lot more mobile than Bobo was too. I think he's got a bit of pace about him. He likes to get in behind the defence. But a bit like Ross, he does have an eye for a goal and is a good finisher, so... looking to see a fair bit of that this season.
I mean, I guess a key for CM Deong, it's been well documented, his injury record is not the best. Keeping him fit, and it's, look, let's admit that it's not as demanding a season as you would expect from Europe, referring there to the A-League. Is that going to be a key to success for the team this year?
It is, but as you say, I worry a bit with that because... you know, if you're coming from Europe, you're all of a sudden coming to Australia, you're playing in the middle of summer, you're playing on hard grounds, you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, players can kind of, you know, roll an ankle in the middle of training. They could, you know, anything could happen in that respect. And if someone's got an injury record and they're at 29, you just hope that, you know, the fitness staff can, you know, help them out in that respect. And that was another downside of losing Graham to the Socceroos, because he's taken... you know, his backroom staff with him.
Yeah,
so
right.
it's going to be a challenge.
I mean, Trent Bahaja has been an interesting recruit from the Central Coast Mariners. A player that's always had some expectations on him. He's a Central Coast junior as well. He cops a fair bit of stick from the Jets fans as well. But, you know, we don't necessarily single him out. They all cop it. But interesting that he's actually really started to perform for Sydney, and it's an opportunity for him to perform at possibly, a bigger club, a more professional club. And perhaps that can often either make a player sink or swim, and he seems to be thriving.
Yeah, that's right. Well, when he arrived, I mean, it was a fairly underwhelming pick-up by the club, because, you know, when the Mariners are happy to let a player go, you're not exactly jumping for joy when you pick them up. But he's someone who, you know, has pace, and the one thing that we haven't had for a long time is actually some players who can run with speed up front. And his ability to get in behind and contribute with some goals, I mean, no one really saw that. I know I didn't see that coming. So it's going to be actually really good to have him playing out on that right wing and scoring some goals and some assists.
The only other notable in is Daniel De Silva from the Central Coast Mariners, who's come in on a loan. It very controversial, very divisive, given that his loan was announced, was it the day of or the day after the FFA announced the new intra-club loan system for underage players? it wasn't a good look.
No. I'd say that I'd concede that much. You know, even if you're a Sydney fan and you're kind of saying, well, you know, this should have happened a long time ago and it shouldn't be controversial, the fact that, like anything with this, like the Tim Cahill rule, all of a sudden it comes in, it's introduced, and then it's just taken away. And all of a sudden it's used for that one player, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we haven't seen anyone use it later, but look, let's put that to the side. How's his introduction to the team been, and is he looking to fill that spot or as a player, a backup to Sam Deong, or are you looking to deploy him in a different position?
Yeah, when we first got him, I thought, well, he's going to be a first-team player because we'd have Adrian out and Broska's kind of on the way out as far as his age is concerned. But ever since, I think it was a game against Rockdale where he scored a fantastic opening goal for us, he hasn't really featured. He suffered a few injuries. So depending on how the rest of the team function, I know that our front four, I'd say, it would be Lafondra starting with De Jong behind him, and then out wide you'd have Bahaja and then Ninkovic on the other side. So De Silva would have to compete to get into that kind of setup. So at this stage, I wouldn't say that he walks straight into the team, and it obviously his injuries are a bit of a concern at the moment.
Now, while none of the players that that the team have brought in, that Corrick has brought in, necessarily seem like, I guess, prima donna players, high-demanding players. It's still going to be interesting to see how Corrick handles those that are used to operating at a higher level. Do you think that he's got that ability to handle the team?
Look, I've got to admit, I've got some reservations about it. Just by the fact that he's been a very reserved assistant coach for such a prolonged time. And I would have thought if he was a very hungry, ambitious coach, he would have gone out and looked for another opportunity by the stage. But maybe he's just been very strategic and just bided out his time, and now this is his chance to make it happen. So I'm sure all Sydney fans are willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and give him a run and see what happens. But it's going to be tough this season and for the next few seasons, because we're playing essentially away from home at a few different grounds, which is going to make things interesting.
You're into another FFA Cup final. Is that three consecutive or two?
I believe that's three. I think it was the one we lost against City, and then we won it last year, and now another final this year.
Okay. Have you noticed a change in style from Graham Arnold and the way that he deployed her? Is Corrick adopting something very similar?
Well, I've only really kind of taken account of what he's been saying and what we can see from the games on TV. And from what I can see, it's essentially the same framework and philosophy. I think he'll change things a little bit just by the fact that you're taking out a playmaker who played off the right-hand side to one who's essentially just the number 10 who drops a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And the number 9 position changes as well, because Bobo, he was a great player in the box, but he wasn't that mobile. So now with Lafondre, who can press the defence a little bit more, it'll be interesting to see if we take a more proactive approach. I think he's hinted at that before, but I think it'll still be the two pivots in the middle, very structured, and then we'll kind of look to hit teams on the break.
Look, out of that FFA Cup semi-final, I mean, it was the first derby of the year. I mean, there was one big talking point, and that for me was Ryan Grant's mullet. What's going on there?
It's a shocker, isn't it? It's an absolute shocker.
You are allowed to swear on this point.
It's a bad look. I don't know. Look, if it catches on and fans in the grandstand have those terrible mullets, then fair play to him. I think he must have lost the bet or something, but I don't know.
For his sake, I hope that happened. Look, another talking point before all the recruitment occurred with De Jong and Lafondre was Fernando Torres. Almost the one that got away. It seemed like there was strong rumours that it was a done deal, that it was happening. I mean, there are even the leaked images of him in a Sydney kit. Can anything you've got that you can shed further light on that, or who would you prefer at this stage as well?
all I can say is that I remember that very morning when that story went out and it was printed on Fox Sports, and I could see him in the picture. I could see the headline, Sydney FC secure Fernando Torres, and 5 minutes later the story disappeared.
Wow.
And you're thinking, wow, something's happened here.
Someone shot the gun.
I attempted to share it with a few different people and it just disappeared. And you wonder, that's how close we were to securing it. And, a story like that doesn't get published unless there's some inside information that, the deal was close. So I would have absolutely loved it. I mean, it would have been Del Piero all over again. We would have had, the Daily Telegraph would have printed front pages about him in the middle of the off-season, and it would have been one of those big driving marketing tools that the league could have used, and that would have been exciting. But here we are. We've got a guy from Stockport County instead. So,
look, I'm a Liverpool fan, mate. So I would have loved it.
Us too. Don't you worry.
Never love strikers, mate. They just break your heart. exactly. Crystal ball time. What are you expecting from Sydney FC this year?
Okay, well, I'm thinking probably a top three finish will be there or thereabouts. So my fear is that we'll be pulled back to the pack a bit. I think there's a few other contenders who have improved. The fact that we're not going to be playing at our home ground, we're going to be shifting between Cogra, Leichhardt and the SCG for some reason, which I still can't get over.
The SCG?
The SCG for a few games, which... It's amazing. Every time that we've seen an A-League team play at a ground that's not a football-specific venue, the atmosphere is sapped and you just don't quite get the same momentum. So I think we can finish top three, get an ACL spot. But, I don't think we're going to be the dominant force that we've been the last few seasons.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Would you accept a consolidation year for Corica?
Yes. I think in a matter of speaking, because, you're essentially taking out, the spine of the best, arguably the best team in A-League history. So when you do that, you take yourself out of your home ground, you promote an assistant coach, and a lot of other teams are starting to get better. I think you throw all of that into the mix and you've got to accept that you're not going to be that definite number one team. But that still doesn't mean that we can't compete for the trophy at the end of the day. So, interested to see how we go.
So, prediction time. Who are going to, if you think that Sydney will be third, who will be the premiers?
Oh, wow, you're probably on the spot. Premiers. You know what? Newcastle Jets.
Wow. That's a big call.
I was so impressed with what they did last year, and I don't think they've fallen back too much with what's happened in the off-season. So I'd say Newcastle at this stage.
Okay. Grand final winners?
Sydney FC.
Why not?
I think we can do it. I think we've got enough big game experience to do it. Melbourne Victory won it from third position. Were they third fourth. Or fourth position? They fourth. Were fourth position. So if we finished third, they finished fourth. we can win it. Yeah.
Wooden Spooners. Let's see what sort of fan you are.
Wooden Spoon. Okay. Wellington Phoenix.
Okay. I thought you might have said the Wanderers, but no.
Look, I love Mark Rudin. I really hope that he can do something with that club, but I can't see it happening.
Well, and look, the boys from around the block didn't pick Sydney either. So, top scorer. Who will be the top scorer for the league?
Top scorer for the league. That's a very good question. I'll say Lafondra. I think he's absolutely lethal in front of goal, and he'll get enough chances, and he'll get enough assists made from the players around him. So I think Adam will do it.
Okay, and I don't need to ask the last question because you've already said that we're going to finish premiers. So that sorts that one out. All of the Jets games against Sydney last year were really enjoyable. There were some controversial moments, but they were really tight, well-fought affairs, which they haven't been in the past. And that was really, from a Jets fan perspective, it was really pleasing to see that the two best teams went out at hammer and tong in a real attacking sense. So
yes.
Hopefully for more of the same this year. Blake from Skyviews, if people want to get in touch with you, what's your Twitter handle? Are you on Facebook? Instagram.
Yep, so check our Twitter handle. We're just at Sky Blue Views. And also I'll be doing match previews and reviews and that sort of thing on the Daily Football Show. So just check out the website there and you can get that content.
Thank you very much for joining us, mate. It's been very much appreciated. And I'm sure that we'll get a chance to talk to you throughout the season.
Fantastic. Thanks, David.